What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Fantasy Podcast. I'm stepping into a different role this week. We've got our commander in chief. He's on the IR. He's a little bit under the weather. He's still here with us because he is a trooper, but he's also in depression. How many leagues are you in, Layton?
Do we have like serious leagues or like?
No, just number of leagues, just for fun.
Six.
How many leagues did you make the playoffs in?
One.
It's better than zero. So anyway, he's in a bit of a dark place right now.
And I lost already.
Looking forward to 2023, but we'll get there. So, Layton, I'm going to go ahead and skip you because I think we know how well. But, Nate, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. It's good to be back on with everybody. It's been several weeks now since I feel like I've been able to join. But you guys are holding down the fort without me, as you always do. So I appreciate it. But just looking forward to getting back into this. It's kind of – I share some similar feelings as Layton. This has been a roller coaster of a fantasy year for me. I've actually had a pretty good percentage of making playoffs in the leagues that I'm in. I went 6-10 in all redraft and dynasty leagues that I'm participating in, made the playoffs in six of them. So it's been okay, but it just hasn't – it's felt very difficult in all of them, and I felt very wrong a lot of the times this year. So I'm kind of looking forward to starting to scout – next year's dynasty draft. Let's get this kicked off.
Also, update, it's 0-7. The one I thought I made the playoffs in, I was 5-6 with five other people. Guess who didn't make that cut? This guy.
Tuffy.
There was three teams that made it. 5-6 was their record. That was the fourth, apparently.
That's actually because in my work league, it was the exact same thing, except if we had, what did you say, 5-6 was your record?
Yeah, we had five teams that were 5-6.
Yeah, so I don't know the structure of that league, but for ours, we played a couple more games, and we had, let's see, one, three, four. We had four people at 6-7. And then another four at 7-6 with a team at 8-5 and a team at 5-8. So nice. we were all within a game. I got the boot. This was the one league that I didn't make the playoffs in. Which,
are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I ended up winning. We only have 1 week matchups, but James Conner on a prayer got me the win by 1.2 points last night, the consolation bracket. I'm actually going to give a shout out. I kind of forgot that I did this, but I'm going to give a quick shout out to a guy that I sit next to at work. He's from London. This is his first year in the U.S. Never played football before, never paid attention to the NFL before. We made a gentleman's agreement before the fantasy football season that if he made the playoffs and I didn't, I had to give a shout out to him and England on the podcast. Charlie, shout out. Congratulations. Good job making the playoffs this year. You did great. You got lucky, but you made it. So,
Hey, Charlie, shout out to Harry Kane. He should try out to be a kicker for the NFL because he skies so many balls over the bar.
He'll probably appreciate that.
Wait, what was your friend's name again? Sorry.
Charlie,
it's called soccer. All right, but congratulations.
Ooh. Perfect. That was great. Moving on, the Monday game brought us some interesting components to the fantasy football world. So Kyler Murray, he is out for the year. I'm on one of my teams that I'm in the playoffs, but I already lost, so I'm not really concerned about it, but still a blow for a lot of people out there with playoff hopes. I don't know. The quarterback room probably isn't too thin. Trevor Lawrence might be out there as a replacement. Maybe throw up Mike White against the Lions this week.
Woo!
That's I mean, playoffs, not the guy you want to roll out there, but I'm not really excited to start Andy Dalton. Or
if Tyler Huntley plays, I'd play him.
Yeah, that's true. But he's hurt also, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. You also have Daniel Jones.
There's also Danny Dimes. So, really, the reason that I brought this up is less of Kyler Murray, because you can replace that position. It may not be great, but
Hang on. So, sorry. I'm going to interrupt real quick. Brock Purdy. Should pick him up.
After one game, you're sold?
Well, they're playing the Seahawks, too, so it helps, but...
Yeah, that's fair. That would just be a bold move, especially if you're in round two of the playoffs or you're in the second week of a matchup. You got to do what you
can. Next three games are Seahawks, Commanders, and Raiders. I've seen.
There you go. How do we feel about Hopkins after, like, Leighton? Is his ceiling impacted? Is his floor impacted? Are you still comfortable starting him? I mean, what are you thinking?
I feel dumb if I'd say I would not feel comfortable starting him, but you're not really excited about it, right?
So, just for reference, 7 receptions, 11 targets, 79 yards, no touchdown. Comes out to 13 fantasy points. That is his worst performance of this far.
I mean, they play the Broncos and Bucks and Falcons next. I'd feel comfortable starting him. But, like, if you have somebody else with a better matchup, I would not disagree if he, like, you know, didn't play him. I just think he's going to get a lot of volume, too, because I think Colt McCoy is he's a good backup, but they probably won't be winning, and so they'll need to throw, is what Fair my enough. Guess would be.
Nate, how do you feel about Hopkins?
Yeah, that's the direction that I was going to go with it, what Leighton just said, with kind of the volume I think he's going to get. I mean, even after Kyler went out yesterday, you still saw D-Hop get 11 targets in the game. I mean, I think the offense is definitely hampered a bit by not having kind of an explosive playmaker like Kyler. But Colt McCoy, I mean, he's arguably – one of the best backup quarterbacks in the league, I would say. Like, he can definitely get in there and do his job. So I don't think D-Hop takes too big of a hit. The thing for me right now is that it just feels like the Arizona offense is very crowded, and it is, but it's not a good offense either. I just don't think that Cliff is getting the most he can out of his playmakers. But all that said, it's kind of hard to bench D-Hop unless you have some really good other options or really good matchups for other wide receivers. For me, he's probably a guy you just got to ride with. If I did have a good matchup, though, for this next week against Denver, I would maybe be looking at it, because that's going to be a pretty tough one. I don't know if he's going to be able to have too high of a ceiling there.
Yeah, probably not a lot of points are going to be in that game.
No.
This is a really risky one, and Leighton and I talked about this guy before the episode. Would you start Christian Watson in replace of DeAndre Hopkins this week?
Are you asking me?
Anybody. I personally don't think I would.
No, you can't.
Packers play Rams this week, don't they?
Yeah, you can't do that. I mean
– Yeah, well, I think that would be – I think you could do that. I mean, that's –
Night game at home against the Rams.
You said Monday night game?
Yep.
Yeah, that's one. It'd almost be like I'd be looking at my overall matchup for who I'm playing, whereas I think Christian Watson could have a higher ceiling there. And just based off what he's done over the last 4 to 5 weeks, it's like it's probably the riskier play. But if you need a 30-point game out of him, and that's what you're seeing to just make you contend in your matchup, like, I don't think you're going to get that from D-Hop next week. So
right.
Go for it. No, I'd play Watson.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. If Mike White is playing, Garrett Wilson or DeAndre Hopkins. Hopkins.
What was that, Layden?
Hopkins, for sure.
I'm probably going to go Wilson, actually. Oh. I'll go like that matchup against the Lions.
So I think I would also go Garrett Wilson if it's Mike White.
I almost think Garrett Wilson's like a must start if I could. I mean, like, I don't know who your third wide receiver option is there, but I'd rather play both of them. But
I'm assuming point, like, those are both flex guys. He gets downgraded because of the matchup and because I kind of think – I don't know. I kind of expect it to be the James Conner show. Easy transition right here. Like, I think this is one of the better things that could have happened for James Conner. It takes away the threat a little bit, so defenses might crowd the box a little bit more than they did before or pack the box. But, like, Conner's looked good. He's looked really, really good. And I was a doubter. I didn't really think he was going to come back and be the same guy that he was last year that got him the contract and got him the money. But I think he's pretty legit. He looks like a beast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It looks like what he should have looked like in August. Sorry. Go ahead.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, ever since he's come back from his injury, really, he's looked pretty solid. He's kind of looked like the James Conner of last year. What was encouraging for me after watching last night's game was once McCoy came in, Conner got 7 targets, which was kind of big. I mean, that's just, I mean, if there's anything a bad offense can always kind of lean on, it's running back check down. So that could be a really positive sign for him.
100%. Okay, moving on. Zonovan Knight.
New name for a lot of us.
Didn't know who he was when I woke up this morning, but a couple guys brought him to my attention. And, I mean, it's not, like, super impressive numbers by any standards. Like,
but he's averaging 15 points a game.
From a like, NFL standpoint of his actual production. I'm not talking about fantasy points. He has been a great utility for fantasy football. He only has 1 touchdown so far, which is probably a good thing considering how much he's been used and how much he's getting. So, like, is he a RB2 right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Against the Lions? Absolutely.
I think he is, but I don't feel good about it. And I would keep an eye on the status of Michael Carter for this week. And I don't know what James Robinson's injury's been, but it looked like the last time I saw him, he was probably projected to miss this next game. It did look like Michael Carter was maybe on the track to return. This has kind of been, I think, success just from being really like the only piece there in the backfield.
Disrespect.
Am I leaving somebody out?
No. Well, he's averaging 5 yards a carry on the Jets.
Yeah. No, he's doing a great job. I mean, I just don't think it. I mean, we're just now hearing about this guy, so it's not like he's been the plan all along. So I think he's doing a good job of filling the role and the void that they needed filled. But once they kind of get a lot of average pieces back, I don't know if he'll be quite as productive.
I would stash him on Dynasty if you haven't already.
Yeah, do we know when did he get drafted?
Well, it's his first year in the league.
Yeah.
He's 21, so there's no way he got drafted last year. He's probably unrestricted free agent. He probably didn't get drafted, for being honest. But
this is a sidebar here. I had a conversation with a coworker of mine, and he was talking about he's actually in a points per rush fantasy league. So it's our league, but it's also there's a kicker on rushing attempts. Do you think that there's an imbalance in how heavily favored receivers are to running backs, or certain receivers, I guess I should say, because like obviously running backs still go in the majority. It's more running backs drafted in the first round. But next year, we might see the shift of where there are more receivers taken in the first round and running backs.
Absolutely. Like,
typically see. So do you think, or I guess I should ask the question, what point value is fair to put on a points per rush fantasy league?
Like 0.2?
0.2 points per rushing attempt?
Yeah.
So your friend is in a full point per rushing attempt?
No, sorry. I didn't say how many points, or I didn't say what associated strategically, but it's not a full point, no.
Okay. 0.25 probably is my
– I would say a quarter of a point might be good, or maybe even I'm trying to think about this, like, in related to, like, PPR for wide receivers.
I wish you could do, like, a third of a point.
If you do a quarter point and your running back has 20 rushing attempts for 30, he gets an additional 5 points. Like, I know that's basically – but like,
I think that's pretty fair.
You run 20 times for 30 yards. Like, I don't think you deserve to have like 8 fantasy. Like, that's just, it's awful. But his flip side of that argument was, if you rush 20 times for 100 yards, that's like, what is the equivalent in receiving metrics of, like, where do those two worlds collide? Because 20 for 100, like, it's not very productive if you start that guy in your fantasy line, because it's only 10 points. If he doesn't have a reception or if he doesn't score a touchdown, it's almost like a letdown of a fantasy performance. So his argument was like, well, if Jameson Crowder catches 10 balls for 40 yards, like, it feels
14 points,
than 20 for a
And
Jameson Crowder, like, it's just kind of imbalanced, was his point. So
it probably is.
His league was 0.25 points per rushing attempt. I feel like it should be like a tenth of a point, because it could just get out of hand very quickly. Because then you could draft the David Montgomerys, you could draft like Josh Jacobs is better now, but like,
well, it's just giving them more value. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the whole point.
Yeah. Wait, so tenth of a point on a 20 rushing attempts means you get 2 points. Just. What was that?
It's not much, but like, it can make a big, I mean, if you're running backs, it can make a big difference. But
I feel like it has to be like 0.2 or 0.25 though, or else it's like not even really worth it, right?
Mm-hmm.
To but have.
Start three on 0.25, like, you could, in theory, you could end up with close to 20 points if, like, if you have three bell cows.
Well, yeah, that just value, like, true running backs. Like, Nick Chubb would be a beast.
I don't know. It's just already so hard to trade for running backs because there's so few of them. It seems.
Yes.
It would just. And then does it apply to quarterbacks, too? That's the other question.
Oh, man, that'd make Lamar Jackson.
I don't know if that would make as much of a difference, though. I feel like you don't see many quarterbacks rushing over, like, 8 times a game. Really, like, that's a lot for Lamar Jackson, even. 8 rushing attempts is quite a bit. Justin Fields, I mean, he probably had, like, what, 10 or 12 in the game he went off for, like, 150 yards. Like, that was huge, so.
If it was quarter point per attempt with Justin – and it did apply to quarterbacks with Justin Fields, like, I'm just going to go look so I can see the exact number. So, if you leave out his last game, his previous 3 games, he had 8 attempts, 13 attempts, and 15 attempts.
For Lamar?
For Justin Fields.
For Justin Fields, yeah.
He was quarterback 1, and quarterback 7. So
Jalen Hurts is averaging 9.9 rushes a game, by the way.
there's very few of those kinds of quarterbacks in the league.
Okay. So I guess in that. Too many more.
I think it would be in like the 0.1. Honestly, I'm thinking more like 0.2 points per rushing attempt would make it fair. What I like about that is I like the argument where it's like, if you do have a running back, and I've seen this a lot with like Derrick Henry or like Josh Jacobs, where it's like you have a guy run 22 times for 130 yards. Like, that is a really good running back day, but that is awful for fantasy if you don't. I mean, not awful. That is an average, you know, or below average.
If you don't score or catch a ball, that's basically
That's just kind of the thing. Football is like
it, right.
So I did this just for fun last year in one of my leagues. I went back and I looked at who won matchups based off of number of touchdowns. And like over 80% of the time, the team that has more touchdowns wins the matchup for the week. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And it's so awesome. Those are the biggest chunks of points. But if you can focus rather on like not workload or not targets, if you just focus on touchdowns scored, it is incredible how much success that you will have in fantasy
football. But that's so unpredictable, right?
That's the thing, is like that's also the hardest thing to predict.
But I think final point for me on this is like you said, like running backs are hard to trade because there's so few of them. But if you like raise the floor a little bit, I feel like it might open up a lot more options for people.
So like, yeah, you're more able to start like who's like a committee, like Jerick McKinnon would be much startable.
Yeah, like Antonio Gibson and Brian Robinson would be somewhat startable too.
Yeah, that's true, because in PPR you can start guys like Crowder, like but like in previous years you could. So
interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, that was
not on the agenda.
No, it wasn't. But when I don't know what it was that we started talking about that made me think of it, but it was an interesting conversation that we
Zonovan had. Zonovan Knight being a stud.
Ironically, he's the guy who told me who Zonovan Knight was. So.
Well, the thing is, Zonovan Knight, I looked this up. He did go undrafted, but he made the 53-man roster. Pretty impressive. And James Robinson won't be on the team next year. I think Michael Carter, is he out of contract too? Just saying.
I like that idea though, John. That's pretty interesting. I would actually be down to test out a league like that next year.
You could do that. Segway, you could do that in the Vampire League.
Hey, you want to go right now?
Yeah, let's do it. Jump in.
All right. So if you guys can recall, I am doing a test run of this Vampire League this year. The Vampire League, just to re-explain, it is a 10-person league, and so 9 people in the league were able to draft a team. The only caveat is that they don't have any waiver. They can't claim any players off of the waiver wire. So whatever team you draft is what you have for the year. Now, that's 9 people. The 10th person in the league is a vampire, so they were unable to draft a team. They were only able to fill their roster with waiver claims at first, but if they were to win a game, they were able to claim a player off of whatever team they beat's roster.
Out of their choosing, right?
Out of their choosing. But they had to name which player they were claiming before the matchup started. Okay. So you had to go into the game and be like, hey, so if I beat you, I want Jonathan Taylor or something.
Which I'll give you Jamar Chase and Josh Jacobs and a lot of picks for him.
So – I honestly kind of want to pull up the schedule for this guy. Okay. His team name is Vampire Diaries.
There it is.
It's a great book.
So the vampire in our league this year started out 0-3, but this guy is probably one of the biggest fantasy football players I've ever met in my entire life. He's in like 100 leagues this year. It's absolutely disgusting. Yeah. And so he had mapped it out where if he was able to win 2 of his first 5 games or 6 games, maybe he was going to make the playoffs essentially, because after that point, he was going to have 2 superstars and teams were going to start getting hurt after that. And so if you think about it with like a vampire, every matchup like down the road gets easier or favors you more, because players off the waiver are like more startable players. Yeah, more valuable, and teams that you're going up against are more likely to be injured or missing a piece. So he started 0-3, ended up going 2-3 through his first five games, and he is now at 9-5.
Wow.
And I'm about to read you his bench to start off. So bench starts. Jamal Williams, Tua Tagovailoa, Joe Mixon.
Wait, can I ask Christian a question? Watson.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. Was Jamal Williams drafted?
No, Jamal Williams was not drafted.
Okay.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So we had 7 bench spots. So the thing about it was, like, we had to leave him a lot of really good, like, startable players because we had to double up on so many positions.
Like, for insurance. Quarterback, yeah.
Yeah, everybody had to draft 2 tight ends. Everybody had to draft 2 quarterbacks. You could make the decision if you wanted 2 kickers or not, 2 defenses or not, because you're not going to add those later on. So it's like, do you just want to, you know, suffer 1 week of not having a defense, which I did. I chose to do that. But that was kind of the thing. And so we left him a lot of pretty good players to start out with. Jamal Williams was definitely the biggest one. He's like a top 15 running back this year. But so going through Jamal Williams, Tua, Joe Mixon, Christian Watson, Rashad White, Jonathan Taylor, and Saquon Barkley is his bench.
Whoa, what?
Yep.
Wow.
So here we go. All right. Quarterback, Josh Allen. RB1, Austin Eckler. RB2, Derrick Henry. Wide receiver 1, Stephon Diggs. Wide receiver 2, Justin Jefferson. Tight end, Travis Kelce. Flex, Tyreek Hill. It's so bad.
So he won 9 games?
He won 9 games, yeah.
He got best player in theory from every team.
Yeah, that's basically what he did. He just went through, picked up a player. And it was literally after he won his first game and was able to just – I think he got Diggs first.
Oh,
man. I'm pretty sure. And it was while Diggs was, like, really going off as well. And
not only did he get, like, the best player from every team, all of those guys have been healthy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's been the thing,
that's
too.
That's the more impressive thing, that all of them are able to stay healthy. Wow.
But, like, for him, does health really matter as much as, like, the other people? Because, like, you could pick up
– Not necessarily, but the fact that, like, it just happened, worked out that way. Did you say Saquon was on his bench?
Yeah, Saquon and Joe Mixon and Jonathan Taylor.
Huh.
We have to do one.
Let's so hurry. he finished the year on a 6-game win streak.
Yeah, I hope so.
So when this
I league... will say I beat him right before he started this win streak. I beat him 154-116. Nice. So this is who I'm gonna have to, so my team in this right now is a hurt Russell Wilson. I'm not gonna be able to get a quarterback because I was stupid and I didn't draft a second one. And then I have DeAndre Swift, Ramondre, A.J. Brown, Jalen Waddle, Mark Andrews, and DK. And that is it, basically. Like, that is not a terrible team. And I was able to not lose to him at all. So I was able to keep – I don't even know who he would want for my team. Probably A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I've been able to just stay alive. I'm the only other team with a winning record. We had a couple losing records make the playoffs.
Wow.
This is
so
awesome.
When you guys were getting set up, did you do it random of who was the vampire?
Yep.
Did he want to be the vampire?
I don't think anybody really wanted to, but then, like, as we thought about it more, it was like, wait, this is a huge advantage, actually, having this. Like, you kind of want the vamp.
Yeah.
I want to be the vampire.
Yeah.
It was – if I could go back and do it again, like, there's a dip – I mean, a lot of it is luck. If you're not the vampire, it's like you really need to get lucky with, like, your players not getting hurt.
It's all injury luck. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like I would have probably gone a couple, maybe a slightly different strategy with it. But I don't even know what I can really say because I'm, like, the only other team with a winning record, so I did something decent. Wow. But I'm about to get bodied in the playoffs. He's projected 154 in a 1-flex league. And I'm projected 103.
Oh.
Wait, are you playing the vampire?
No, yeah. Well, I guess he has a bye. first. So I don't play him probably
this year. The playoffs start, does the Vampire, if they win, do they still get the best player still?
I don't know, actually.
Because that would be like, could you imagine like you going like semifinals, you win, and then you take like Zonovan Knight? Like, that's huge. Right.
I kind of think it should quit after you hit the playoffs. Oh, but the other little nugget of information is that the Vampire is also the commissioner of the league, and he can veto any trades that happen. So if you like make a trade with another non-Vampire league member, they can veto it.
But you said they have to be like fair in his eyes. Like, you can't just veto it.
Yeah, they have to be
like
fair. Yeah. And most of the time when trades have happened, it's been like, oh, hey, like, I'm playing the Vampire this week. Like, give me Saquon Barkley or something. And he's like, and I'll send you, like, Zay Jones or whatever. And he's going to veto that because it's not really fair. Right. But the thing is, too, though, if that happens and you loan a player to somebody else, they can take that player.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, if you're the one that loans it out, you may never get him back.
Right. Right. That's awesome. We're going to get a league together for that next year. I'm so excited for that.
Do you do that on Sleeper?
We could do it on Sleeper. We just did it on ESPN.
Oh, they have that on ESPN? Or do you just have to, like, manually do it?
You just have to manually do it. And that's the thing is, like, can't make waiver, like, you can't like keep people from getting to the waiver wire. You just kind of have to like make sure other people are not. And it's been a 2-strike rule. So if you accidentally make a waiver claim once, that's like your warning. And if you do it again, you lose a player.
Ooh.
Yeah. And that's happened.
Oh. Woo. No, that'd be fun though. We should do that.
100%.
DM us if you've done it and tell us your strategy.
Or if you want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
No, we're for sure getting Josh in that.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
1,000%. He'd do it.
Okay. So that was awesome. That was a lot of fun. So we didn't know what Nate was – like, we knew that Nate was going to talk about it, but we hadn't heard the results of it. So that was
– It had been a while since we'd kind of had a recap of it. I feel like he was, like, doing okay. Yeah. Was kind of getting better, like stacking up some good players, but he was definitely not just like Thanos.
That's pretty sick.
So the last thing that we're going to say is just kind of fantasy takeaways. We talked about this a little bit before we started recording. Highlighted a few things that we've kind of noticed this year that if you went back to, you know, before the draft happened for all of us, you probably would think that we were crazy. I'll go ahead and go first. My biggest takeaway this fantasy season was don't pay too much attention to the guys that are being overhyped. Like, the first two that I'm going to name are Cortland Sutton and Michael Pittman. We kind of agreed that I don't think it was necessarily Michael Pittman's fault. He's been through the works. I mean, if you go through a head coach, I think you should kind of scrap that season for what it's worth. Matt Ryan's been his quarterback. Sam Ellinger has been his quarterback. You know, just.
And then Matt Ryan was his quarterback again.
Jeff Saturday that the Colts weren't tanking, wanted to win games.
Well, you have to say that. The NFL will fine you. But sorry.
Yeah. But with Cortland Sutton, you know, the Broncos offense as a whole has been a disaster. We saw personally last Sunday that they can score points, but it helps whenever the other team throws three interceptions. But that's a side note. So I think with those guys that are just so hyped coming into, you end up having to reach for them in the draft. You might have to spend up around, you might have to take them pick that you would potentially take someone else, but you don't think they'll fall back to you. And it just seems like that has not worked this year. And there have been so many guys that you wouldn't have expected, to produce that have ended up having successful fantasy seasons. So are there any players that you guys want to add to that short list that I had already?
Yes. Yeah. But no, this, John, this is like probably my big takeaway too. And I think it for us, we probably shared a lot of these same players just because we listened to, you know, fantasy football media and whatnot. And most of the times when a player is getting hyped up or overhyped or whatever, it's because there's like, there's some kind of narrative there that you can kind of get behind that might be like a little, it's easy. And like all these pieces are adding up where it's like, how is this not going to happen? It's like, the thing, I think the one for me was DJ Moore for this year, where it was like, how is this not going to be like a great breakout year for DJ Moore? Like historically, he doesn't catch touchdown passes really. He's never really had a good quarterback. It's like, I think Baker is going to be an upgrade at the quarterback position for him. You know, Christian McCaffrey is going to be back, help open that offense up, take some of the attention off of him, and then he just doesn't really have a worthwhile year at all. So I think that was one guy for me that I definitely wanted to highlight. But yeah, I think I fell victim to the Michael Pittman and Courtland Sutton for sure. Not that those guys were bad, but I think Courtland Sutton was average to start the year, but it was with these guys that get overhyped.
For where you had to draft him, he's bad.
Yes. That was the point. Like, I think Michael Pittman, I mean, I don't know if he's even that much worse than he was last year. And he had a pretty good in like second half of the year last year. But yeah. He was fine. But I mean, Everybody was expecting him to be, you know, a top 10 wide receiver. Same with Courtland Sutton. Honestly, same with DJ Moore. I thought DJ Moore was going to be remarkable. So, I think it's just, lean on, I think, like good players and good offenses and good situations. Like, I don't think you can, I don't think that will typically steer you wrong. Or it's, I mean, I don't know. There's not a perfect formula, but we'll keep trying. No.
But yeah, I think the popular guys, whether or not they work out, you know, like obviously we're using a player scope in this analysis of what we've been burned by this year. But even if they work out, they have to overperform based off where they're actually being drafted compared to where they should be drafted. So the best case scenario is that they have like the season that everybody is saying that they will, but they're still not like elite. They have to. Mm-hmm. They have to get to the 1% possible outcomes for them. And there's so much negative just because they're so overhyped. They're so popular and you have to spend a higher draft pick to get them. So if you really have a gut feeling, I always preach this. If you believe in somebody, go draft him, because you're going to be miserable if you were right and you didn't draft him. But don't succumb to the pressure that hyping over this one guy. Like, I feel like Lamar Jackson was like that quarterback this year. Everybody was like, oh, Lamar's gonna be insane, he's going in the fifth round, it's such a steal. And like, it turns out that if you don't have the top quarterback, it's probably not worth it to draft high on the QB. It's difficult.
I think if I was gonna do it next year, it's like, well, I'm still gonna hear these, and I mean, as I'm going and like prepping for like a draft strategy or whatnot, it is trying to find players that are going to be at a value and whatnot. I think if I'm going to, I'm just going to play devil's advocate with myself a little bit more, where it's like, what am I missing here? It's like, why, like, is Russell Wilson really a better cornerback than Drew Lock? Which I don't think a lot of us could have seen that coming.
No.
But I mean, it's like, it's always possible. Nothing's a sure thing. Or it's like, do you want to be stuck with a decent wide receiver with a first year head coach and a, what we were going to find out to be the worst offense in the league.
Yeah.
But did drop 28 points on the Chiefs. So,
Nate, are you just trying to trigger me again? I agree. I think we should try to do that more like next year with our show. Mm-hmm. We should like, oh, I like Derrick Henry again. And you list all the reasons, and then we just come in, we just negative. And then we can like kind of sift through everything.
Like, because you just get like tunnel vision and you're so set on these. Like, if I don't leave the draft with these guys, like, just wrap it up here next season. But like,
yeah.
Oh, another one, Chase Edmonds.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't get him in any draft and I was furious with myself.
He was like guided
drop.
To be fair, he was like a 9th to 11th round player, so not as massive as a miss. But yes, I get he was terrible.
Where did he get drafted? I think he got drafted before that in our league.
Did Scott draft him?
I think so.
Scott got him early. It was like around the time we were all going to start thinking about it, and Scott grabbed him. Which, it was probably like 6th round or something.
Yeah, I was mad.
He was drafted with the first pick of the 7th round.
Oof. See, that's way rich. So I have two things to reflect on. The first, I would say, is I learned this the hard way this year. Diversify your players that you draft. not necessarily that, like, every league I was in, I drafted the same players, but, like, kind of like we were talking about, like, if you really like a player, I got so tunnel vision on, like, a certain few players, you know, like Michael Pittman, DeAndre Swift, you know, we could sit here forever and talk about them. But, like, when you're tunnel vision and you take them in a majority of your leagues and it doesn't work out, you clearly don't have an overall good fantasy season. So definitely try to diversify among your leagues that you're in, whether you're in 5 or 100, like Nate's friend, you know, well, with 100, I hope he's taking different players, but you know, just be as diversified as you can. And then my second point, I'm fully buying into this next year because I've said it for years and like, I've never really let it affect my fantasy like drafting and philosophy. The contract year is undefeated. All right, Nate, you knew I was saying this too.
Oh yeah.
Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, to the moon. They did so good. And guess what? They're in last year of the contract. They have something extra to play for. Granted, every NFL player wants to win and they're competitive. But when you're looking at potentially like millions of dollars in difference depending on how you play, it's an extra motivation there. So I'm definitely going to take that into account going into next year, whether it's a receiver, running back, quarterback. Like if Jalen Hurts doesn't get a new contract this offseason, Jalen Hurts, like he's been so good this year, but like he's not going to be bad next year, just as an example. So that's something I'm going to keep in mind, and I'm probably going to try to prioritize a little bit more while also not being tunnel visioned on that. So it's a delicate balance, but it's something I'm going to take more into account, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I made through that whole thing without coughing. Aren't you guys proud of me?
Congratulations. That's a win.
You played through a questionable designation.
Yeah, I came out on top.
Yeah. Game time decision.
Okay. I think that's going to do it. This was a good episode. There's a lot of we had some deep dives on this one for sure.
There's a lot of meat to this episode.
There was 100%. No fluff. Absolutely no fluff. No fluff. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. If you have questions, let us know. DM us on Instagram. Follow us on Instagram. Hit us up. What we need to talk about next week. Hit us up.
Because we don't know. Because I'm not in the playoffs.
Late. Checked out. He's gone.
I'm also checked out.
Let us know about the Vampire League if you're interested in that. And we will see you next week.
Thanks, guys.